Good morning. Well, it's been an exciting morning, and we still have much to go with the video and the congregational potluck we invite you to stay for. Let me begin by adding my name as well to those who have already congratulated the graduates and their families, and we certainly love each of them and have enjoyed watching them grow up and see the transformation in their lives, and we pray God's blessings upon their future. Also appreciate Ryan and his work to make this day possible and all he's done over the life of these young people. And also our condolences and sympathy to his family at this time and the loss of his grandfather. I want to think this morning about three things, graduates, that you will not hear, at least not likely hear, in a commencement speech. I want you to know that this next phase in your life, it's a very important time. And many people may say, don't worry about this next phase. Go have fun. And we're seeing in our culture adolescents being strung later and later. Some people are not even, quote, growing up even until they get close to 29 or 30. They just don't want to do that. And so they are delaying maturity or adulthood, as we might say. But I want you to know that this next stage in your life is very important. But I also want you to know that you're not going to make every decision right. There's going to be some failures along the way. And the key is striking a delicate balance between doing what's right and learning from those failures as you go forward. And so as we think about three things you'll not hear in a commencement speech, I want to share with you some important things that I believe will help you as you navigate the next 10 years of your life. And, of course, they'll help all of us. Number one, you'll hear this idea, and I want to suggest to you, don't worry about what to do. There's a lot of talk in our world, in our culture, about focusing upon what you're going to do. In fact, you've probably been asked that about 1,000 times. So what are you going to do? Where are you going to go to? What college are you going to go to? Oh, you're not going to college. Well, what are you going to do? Who are you going to marry later on when you're getting out of college? That might be the question. Maybe that's the question now. Where are you going to live? All kinds of questions about what you're going to do. Some focus on our education being ended. Some of you are celebrating. I'm done with education. And those who are graduated from college, you're really thinking, hey, I'm done. And those who are entering college are thinking, 4 more years and I'm never going to open another book. Let me encourage you not to view education that way, as thinking that education is ever done. But be a lifetime learner. Be someone who's always growing and always learning more about life and about people and especially about God and His church. And so, the world says focus on what you're going to do. But rather, I say don't worry about what to do. Yeah, there's some things we need to think about with that. But rather, focus on who you are. You see, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, when He gives us His most important teachings about the characteristics of a Christian, He doesn't focus on all the things you're going to do. I thought it was interesting when Ryan listed off all the things that these seniors have planned, that there was a wide variety of them. But you know, it really doesn't matter. In God's scheme of things, what we do, God created all of us with a tremendous amount of talent so that we can do all kinds of things and we can fill all the needs we have in our culture. We need people to be carpenters and nurses and doctors. We need people to be school teachers. We need people to be preachers. We need all kinds of things. We need moms. We need dads. We need all these kinds of things in our culture. But Jesus doesn't focus so much on what we do as much as He focuses upon about who we are. Who we are. I'm not going to read all of the Beatitudes in verses 3 through 11. But notice that Jesus is talking about our attitude. He's talking about who we are. Being poor in spirit. Mourning. Being meek. Being hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Being merciful. Being pure. And then He says the passage that Todd read, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. That's who you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be salt. You're supposed to be light. You're supposed to let men see your good works so that they may glorify your Father in heaven. And then over in chapter 6, when He talks about worry, And Jesus says, you're worried about all kinds of things. And I'm sure the parents and the graduates have a lot of worries. There's a lot of concerns. There's a lot of anxiety. I remember when I graduated and then going to school and going away, I went to Freed Hartman, and there's a lot of, you know, anxiety and leaving your friends and in some ways leaving your family and having to make new friends and being away from mom and dad. And Jesus says, there's all kinds of worries. In their culture, they're talking about food and drink and clothing and these kind of things. And Jesus says, don't focus on those outward things, but rather he says, verse 33, you seek after the kingdom of God. You seek after the kingdom of God. You focus on putting God first. You focus on who you are, and everything's going to fall into place. You see, our world places so much emphasis on the external physical things. Where do you work? What kind of house do you have? What kind of car do you drive? What kind of clothes do you wear? Who's your boyfriend? Who's your girlfriend? Who'd you marry? What do your kids look like? Are your kids cute? All these things. And Jesus focuses on who you are. He wants to change your heart. And so, yes, it matters what we do. But let me tell you something. The preacher says, because Jesus says, it matters who you are when you're doing those things much more. And so go do whatever you do. Whether it's living in a small house or a big house. Whether it's having a boyfriend or not having a boyfriend, girls. Whether it's going to college or going to trade school. Whether it's getting a job. But whatever you're doing, make sure you are a salt and a light to this world. Make sure it's about who you are. So don't worry about what to do. In fact, in Luke 18, Jesus tells a story about the Pharisee and the publican. And the Pharisee was all concerned about what he did. He tithed. He fasted in the streets. He anointed his face so that he looked off. Everybody focused on what he did. The publican went down to the temple, got on his knees, beat his breast, and said, I'm a sinner. Jesus said, that man went home justified. See, it's about who you are. It's about who you are. But number two, stop trying to find the perfect job. Stop trying to find the perfect job. I think sometimes in our culture that there's a myth that there's this perfect job out there just waiting on you and you're going to make all the right decisions. And now you're feeling like you've got to make all the right decisions so that you can get this perfect job one day. And maybe this is perpetuated all throughout, and maybe even as adults sometimes we're looking for that perfect job. I heard a recent radio interview, and it was talking to someone who deals with those coming out of the military, our veterans. And it said that they interviewed a lot of veterans coming out, and they have a specific skill set for something in the military. And they want to take that skill set, and they think that they could go into the secular world, but this interviewee was saying that it doesn't work. And the employers don't know what those skill sets are. They don't know how to use those skill sets. And it said the veterans come out of the military, and many of them, they ask, well, what kind of job do you want? Oh, I'll take a job. I'm kind of looking for something between $75,000 and $100,000. And they had this high list of things, and they're like, it's not realistic. And this person is helping these veterans transition into the workforce. But a part of the problem is that we often are focused upon a perfect job. You know, when you look at statistics, it says that they did a study between those born between 1954 and 1968. Between the ages of 18 and 48, between the time they were 18 to almost 50, they had changed jobs an average of 11.5 times. Now that's men and women both, and there wasn't very much different. Both men and women were over 11 times of changing jobs between the age of 18 and 48. A lot of statistics still say that the average person changes careers 5 to 7 times. And statistics say that people change jobs as many as 12 or on upwards of 8, 15 to 20 times in a lifetime. So what am I going to suggest to you? You can't find the perfect job. Every job is going to have its challenges. And every career is going to have its struggles. But you can create it. What I mean by that is, you choose your attitude. You choose what kind of attitude you bring to work each day, what kind of person you will be in that career. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul would say in verse 22 and following, slaves, now think about that. How many people graduate from high school in Rome and said, I want to be a slave. I'm excited about being a slave. Don't think anybody did. In fact, they weren't even given that choice when they graduated high school, right? They were born into that, or they were conquered into that by when they were invaded and Rome came in and said, you're going to be our slave. But notice what Paul tells them. He says, slaves, obey in everything those who are earthly masters, not by way of eye service or people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. For whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. In our Wednesday night men's class, Joel was teaching on this, and he had a good thought. He said, we all should just have that as like a reminder that comes up every day on our phone to change our attitude. But wouldn't that affect us if we thought every day about working heartily, that we're not working for whatever the paycheck is or for whoever the boss is, but we're working for the Lord, that we're serving the Lord, that we're representing the Lord. You see, you cannot and will not find the perfect job. Every job is going to have its challenges. But you can choose how you handle the job you have. You can choose the attitude you bring to work. You can choose the friendships you make. You can choose the difference you make in that job. You can choose whether you work hard or whether you're lazy. You can choose your attitude. You can choose whether you represent Christ and make a difference in that job, or whether you're there just for the paycheck. You see, stop trying to find the perfect job, but create it through your own attitude, through your own service. The final thing I would say is, don't chase your dream. Now, I understand that we need to have vision and we need to have dreams, and I see the value in that. And I'm not trying to just pour water on all your excitement. But I want to share with you that really oftentimes our dreams can really be masquerading underneath selfishness. So when we think about not chasing our dreams, what I'm going to suggest to you is the words of Jesus, but rather focus upon serving others. You see, as one writer said, the unemployment line is filled with people who chase their dreams. That many people, as another writer said, hate their bosses and live every day in bitterness because they spent years chasing a dream and it resulted in economic failure. And so what I'm suggesting is the words of Jesus is really a different attitude. Rather than focusing upon people serving you and you getting all you can out of life, I'm going to suggest that the way Jesus says is, the way you get the most out of life is not by saying, let me have all I can get, but rather saying, let me serve others. Let me help others. Look to Matthew chapter 20, 25 through 28. Jesus, talking about this here, says, but Jesus called them and he said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you, for whoever should be great among you must be your servant. For whoever would be first, whoever would live the biggest dream, would be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Can you imagine Jesus speaking to all the multitude who were hungry, who were oppressed, who were slaves and abused throughout that Roman society, who were conquered by Rome? They didn't even have a concept of elevating themselves above where they were. They were struggling just to get their daily meals. And when Jesus comes to them, what does he talk about? He talks about faith, and he talks about hope, and he talks about love. He talks about service. What we need to realize is, yes, there's a lot of value in from the concepts of trying to work hard and pull ourselves up and achieve. But let's understand that the greatest way to find fulfillment in life is through following Jesus. And the best way to follow Jesus, or what is involved in following Jesus, is serving others. Serving others. And so, serve someone else's dream first. Instead of always thinking about how can I achieve, think about how others want to achieve. And try to help them. And guess what? When you help them, you're going to learn. And then you can apply that to your own goals and your own desires. And when you lift somebody else up and you build them up and you help them achieve, you know what they're going to want to do to you? They're going to lift you up. This is why the people that are the most successful were the best followers. The people that are the best leaders were the best followers 10 years before. Because they lifted other people up, they served other people, and then other people said, those are the kind of people I want to be leading me. And they learned. And so then they got their turn to lead as well. You see, don't chase your dream, but rather choose to serve and help other people achieve their dream. You know, when you graduates think about those people who have influenced you the most, think about the coaches, the Bible class teachers, your youth minister, your parents. You realize that they probably aren't maybe living what they might have considered at one time their dream. That in many ways, if they had not have done what I'm encouraging you to do, serve others, how much you would have missed out on. How much you would have missed out on inspiration and how blessed you've been because other people have invested in you. And in a lot of ways, what has happened with you has been a fulfillment and really a living out of them living a dream job. Doing what they've been able to do. And you have been a product of that. And really, isn't that what matters? Isn't that a greater dream than having fame and fortune? To be able to impact the lives of people. Impact and love others. See, that's what you want. And in order to do that, you've got to serve them. You've got to put them first. You've got to not be selfish. Serve someone else's dream. This morning, I would encourage you to focus on who you are, determined to create your own dream job. No matter what job you're in, whether you change 12, 20, or never change careers, you choose how you make that job each day. And then choose to serve others first. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, we would love to immerse you into Christ this morning, to have your sins washed away, to be able to become a child of God, become a part of His church. If you need to rededicate your life, if you have sin in your life and you want to confess that, put Christ back as first in your life, we want to be there and help you do that. If you just need the prayers of the church, come as together we stand and sing. Sweetly.